recording now. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting of June 11, 2019. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Baker, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Hedvac, Hanford, Davis, Camp, and Hampton.
Okay, and before we move further, Councilmember Rasmussen is here. He stepped out in the lobby right now and is talking to Zach. So if we could show that he is indeed present, I would appreciate that. All right. Councilmember Camp, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item that we have on our agenda is under announcements and presentations. I'm going to go ahead and, unless council objects to it, I'd like to take the second proclamation first. That's on Amateur Radio Week. Is there any objections to that? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and begin with Amateur Radio Week. Whereas amateur radio operators are celebrating over a century of the miracle of human voice broadcast over the airwaves, and whereas amateur radio operators serve as bridges between people, communities, and countries, and whereas amateur radio operators have volunteered countless hours of community service during times of calm and in times of emergency, and whereas these same individuals have further demonstrated their value to public assistance by providing free radio communications for local parades, triathlons, and other public events, and whereas the City of Monroe values the services amateur radio operators deliver to emergency response organizations, including the Monroe Emergency Management Office, and whereas beginning June 22, 2019, a 24-hour amateur radio field day exercise will take place to demonstrate radio amateur operators' skills and readiness to deliver self-supporting communication without further infrastructure being required. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby proclaim June 17th through June 23rd, 2019, as Amateur Radio Week and in Monroe, and encourage residents and businesses to join me in thanking amateur radio operators for their service. Brad, would you like to go ahead and introduce our guest?
This is John. He's our president of the Sky Valley Amateur Radio Club. It meets monthly on the third Saturday at the Track Session Today at the hospital. So that's our local amateur radio group. And they will be at Lake Ty on Saturday the 22nd. So all the council members are welcome to come and visit. And we actually get extra points in the contest. And we have public officials show up.
John, would you like to say anything to council?
Yes, I want to thank the city for all the support that you've shown to our club and amateur radio community in general. And I would like to personally extend an invitation for you to come and see our operations this year, because you have been so generous as to allow us to use the new trailer. We are going to try to run a 24-hour operation, which we haven't done for several years.
So. Thank you very much. Cool. So, Council, will you come down and join me? We'll present this proclamation to John.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
The next item that we have on our agenda, we're going to go to the first item on our agenda, which is a proclamation for Father's Day. Whereas Father's Day is dedicated to honor remarkable men who strive and sacrifice all year, inspire us to reach great heights, and support us no matter the challenges we face or the paths we choose. And whereas we celebrate the men who raise us, who love us unconditionally, who do whatever it takes to set us on the road to success and want nothing more than for us to lead happy, healthy lives. And whereas fathers are providers, community leaders, and pillars of family, and through their example, they teach the future dreamers and doers the values of hard work, compassion, service, and personal responsibility. And whereas fathers help provide discipline, guidance, love, generosity, persistence, patience, integrity, help build our core, and help us understand right from wrong. And whereas we give thanks to fathers who support us, mentor us, act as role models, who enrich our lives and shape our character. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby recognize Sunday, June 16, 2019, as Father's Day and proclaim a very happy Father's Day to all those who embody fathers in our lives and encourage Monroe's residents and businesses to honor and express love and gratitude to fathers everywhere. So, council members, I believe I have enough for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you. Just go ahead and take one. And a very happy Father's Day to each of you.
Thank you.
Did you want a picture?
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds like a
theatrical. I know. I figured I could ask. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, and that item would be presentation item number 3, Everett Community College, East County Campus, with Dr. Sierra Graham. Dr. Graham, please come forward. Thank you for being with us this evening. And let me turn your podium on there. All right, there you go.
Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you to the council for allowing me the opportunity to speak tonight. I really appreciate it. So my understanding is that you have 15 minutes to speak. I don't anticipate taking the entire time. But I just wanted to introduce myself as the new director for the Everett Community College campus in Monroe. I wanted to talk a little bit about some major accomplishments that I've made. I've only been in this position since February 1st. And then just review some major goals and priorities that I have on this campus. Next slide, thank you. So I just wanted to kind of present an overview of the East County campus and the degree programs that we offer. So we provide students the opportunity to earn an associate's DTA. DTA stands for Direct Transfer Agreement. And it's an associate degree that allows students to transfer to any four-year institution in the state of Washington. So they take all of their kind of prereq courses as part of their associate's degree, and they're able to transfer to a four-year institution. We also recognize that we are in a city that is serving a huge Hispanic Latino population. So we do provide opportunities for these individuals to take ELA classes. That stands for English Language Acquisition. Some of you may know that as ESL, English Second Language, and that provides them the opportunity to learn English. And this class is provided for students of all different levels. We also recognize that we are serving a community that is underserved, so we provide the opportunity for students to gain their high school diploma. And this is through our Transitional Studies program, and Transitional Studies encompasses getting your GED, high school diploma, or enrolling in the ELA classes. And then we provide associate degrees in general studies, business administration, business, and then business technology. And this is typically done via a combination of face-to-face and online courses. So next slide. All right, so I just wanted to talk about some major accomplishments and some of the work that has been done since I've been in my position. So we hosted our first roadshow at Fulton High School. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with a roadshow, it's basically an opportunity for high school students to visit a table representing a different major or academic field from a community college, for example, business or health sciences. And the students are allowed the opportunity to connect with that staff member and learn about the different careers that they could pursue via that degree. And so we had the opportunity to see over 100 students at Fulton High School, and then we invited these students to the East County campus for a tour. So just a great opportunity to engage with the community that we do serve. We've been at campus since 1999, and we are primarily here to serve students in the Eastern Homeland County area. So that includes Monroe, Sultan, Govar, Index, Lake Stephen, and Grand Falls. We've also leveraged technology. Of course, being a satellite campus, we recognize that we are not only short staffed, but we don't have some of the same access to resources that the main campus in Everett does. So Zoom Advising allows our students to connect with an academic advisor at the main campus. They still receive the same level of service, the same quality of service. It's just done via the computer. I also hosted Donuts with Director events during the first week of our spring quarter, which was in April. Just allowed me the opportunity to connect with students. And I'll just go through a few of these, not all of them. We hired our first student life coordinator. She's from Sultan High School and also running Star Student. And her main responsibility will be to create activities and engagement opportunities for students at our campus. I've also been very involved in the community as well. Let's see, I'll be attending the YMCA Monroe Sky Valley board meeting. I also joined the Monroe Diversity and Inclusion Council, which was organized by Fields, the library manager at Monroe Library, and then I'll be presenting at the Take the Next Step Community Dinner in August, which is an opportunity for me to connect with community members who may be interested in local educational options. In terms of marketing, we've been doing a lot in terms of Facebook engagement, Peach Jar, which is a newsletter that's sent to parents within the Monroe School District and the Lake Stephen School District. And then we hosted our first Spanish information night for students who are interested in enrolling at Everett Community College. And we were able to secure a $500 sponsorship from the YMCA of Snohomish County. And then a few months ago, we hosted the first ever workforce development forum here at City Hall. Great opportunity for me and other people to connect with local businesses, understand the workforce needs, and as I continue as a director to develop programs that a lot of students are attracted to, it's important that I talk with local businesses so I can meet their hiring needs. Next slide. All right. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about our student demographics. We're serving. So this spring, we're currently in the spring quarter, we've seen about 571 students. Running Start, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with Running Start, it's a tuition-free program that allows high school juniors and seniors to take college classes. And again, they don't have to pay tuition for this. So we have about 27% of our students are Running Start, and we have the majority of our Running Start students coming from Fulton High School. First gen, 39%, which is something I'm really happy about because I am the first in my family to pursue a bachelor's, master's, and a PhD. And so this is defined as the person who was the first in their family to attend college. Students of color, 33%. And then in terms of location, these are the students that we're serving in terms of the highest number of students served. And then as you can see, those are age demographics. So next slide. Thank you. So just wanted to briefly talk about some of my goals. So goal number one, I would like the East County campus to be a premier destination for place-bound students in East Snohomish County. So we are serving a lot of students who really do not have the option to relocate to another city. A lot of students, just from anecdotal evidence, have expressed to me that it is physically difficult. They often don't have the resources, such as a car, to be able to travel to the Everett campus to get there. And so for students who are living in East Snohomish County, we want to be able to provide educational options that meet their needs. And so that's why the Workforce Development Forum was extremely instrumental as I start to develop anchor programs. And so I want to connect with businesses, understand what their needs are, what degrees would they like to see from the East County campus. This is all really important information. Of course, I recognize that in order to attend college, students need financial and scholarship support. So due to the generous donations of our community members, we were able to give away 19 scholarships in the amount of $500 to prospective students starting this fall. And so I'm really happy about that. And my staff and I are going to be meeting within the next couple of weeks to really talk community fundraiser a lot bigger so we can increase the amount that we offer to students. And then, of course, we recognize as a two-year institution, we want to provide our students with career development support. So it's not just about providing classes. How do we prepare them for the workforce? How do we give them skills that are needed to ensure that they get hired? And so anytime that I can have employers or local businesses come to campus and talk about, those needs is very important. And then expanding branding and marketing. Of course, I would say, in order for me to build FTEs and increase the number of students at the East County campus, marketing is very important. All right, so I just wanted to present kind of a brief overview of our students, because they are really amazing. So Leon Fields is actually one of our student employees. And so this is an example of a student who worked, for a good portion of his life and then decided, after working, he needed some type of advancement opportunity to excel. First-generation college student, he plans to pursue the DTA, Direct Transfer Agreement, and then would like to transfer to the WSU campus, the campus in Everett, because he's not able to transition to the main campus. And he wants to pursue a degree in sustainable organic agriculture. He's a commuter student, commuting from Sultan. He likes East County because of the cost, the small community. A lot of students really like our small class sizes. The average class size is about 20, which is really good. And just the diversity of the student body. So, next slide. Thank you. Another student, also first generation. She is our East County Student Life Coordinator, Running Start student from Sultan High School. She chose East County because of the lack of educational options in Gold Bar. I think this really gives evidence to how students who are living in rural areas need access to educational options. And so that is why I'm happy to be working at the East County campus. And she plans to finish her DTA and then transfer to SPU. All right, so goal two, which a lot of you should be interested in, and that is fostering and expanding community connections and partnerships. So I'll talk a little bit about some of our major recruitment events on the next slide. But we offer corporate training to local businesses who are interested in various kind of training competencies like leadership, supervision training as well. This is something that we hold as a value to our campus, wanting to connect with students. And then Monroe High School, we've noticed that our engagement with Monroe High School has been a little low, just in terms of the number of Running Start students and students from Monroe High School who are transitioning to the Everett Community College East County campus. So I've been talking to the superintendent and the principal about ways that we can strategically target their students to ensure that they know about the East County campus, the East County campus. And then we're also planning a STEM summer camp for middle school students at the East County campus in summer of 2020. So I can answer more questions about that later. All right, so just our major recruitment events for the year. So we'll be hosting a high school council breakfast in the fall. This is an opportunity for us to connect with counselors who serve East Snohomish High School, let them know about the Running Start program, how to advise their students, financial aid, scholarships, just things that high school counselors need to know. Trojan Night is an opportunity for any students in East Snohomish County who are interested in any of our degree programs to learn more about how to enroll. Trojan First, this is an event exclusively for first-generation college students, both prospective students and current students who would like to know more about East County campus. And then we're also offering informational sessions every quarter for Spanish speakers who want to enroll in our ELA classes, campus tours, we do those regularly, our Spanish speaking nights, and then our Running Start info sessions, which are offered during the winter quarter. And those are for students and parents. They learn about the Running Start process, how to enroll, how to sign up for testing, et cetera. All right, and this is my last slide, I believe, and that's just resource stewardship. So again, really emphasizing the need of community support and sponsorship. you know, we are able to do a lot of what we do and the great work that we do because of the community support that we have behind it. With our Spanish College Information Night, that was raised exclusively by donations, that no institutional money put forth. And so I think that just provides evidence on how invested the community is in Everett Community College, but it also sheds light on just the potential that we do have. Next slide. Thank you very much,
Dr. Absolutely. Council members, do you have any questions? Or Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you, Dr. Rancher. I think your slide said that there were 571 enrolled. Do you know what prior years were?
So last year we were at, I think it was 560, I believe. And that's something that is kind of a trend statewide with community colleges. We've kind of seen enrollment going down. And so we're really looking at ways that we can strategically engage high school students to enroll in community colleges.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Dr. Kim.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at your college pathways form.
Sure.
So are all of these available in a row, or is there like a starting point and you have to move to everything?
Yeah. So it would just be business, business technology, and business administration. Those are the pathways that are offered. But for students who are looking for other pathways, if they wanted to maybe start in Monroe and take a lot of the general classes, English 101, some math classes, they could start there, and then they would have to transition to the main campus or take online classes. And that's because our campus is small. We're in the Lakeside building, and we only have 4 classrooms total. So we're not able to offer every single degree program for students.
Thank you. I really appreciate having a college in
Absolutely. Thank you.
Right. Anything else from council? Dr. Graham, I too echo what Councilmember Hanford just said too. I think that the council members who also have said so, I think we all appreciate having Everett Community College here in our community, and we really appreciate all the work that you're doing. So thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation this evening.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a public hearing. This is for AB 19-124, the 2020 to 2025 Transportation Improvement Plan, TIP. And Mr. Peterson has this one. So, Mr. Peterson, you're up.
Thank you, and good evening, Council. Tonight's public hearing has been forest for this coming transportation improvement plan, this 2025 transportation improvement plan. Just a quick background, every year the RCW requires that cities adopt a look ahead 6-year transportation improvement plan. That needs to be adopted by July 1st, and there has to be a public hearing process, and that's why we're having a public hearing tonight. So our proposed 2025 Transportation Improvement Plan, which is up above us. Could you go back a couple slides? So as mentioned, there's some summary points here. After we adopt the plan, we have to be filed with the state, so it can be consistent with the state's transportation plan within 30 days. So we're up to the end of July. It's pretty procedural. On the next so this essentially is the list out of our comprehensive plan. And then over on the right margin, we have kind of like a summary of where we are today, such as the Woods Creek Road and Trinity Place intersection. You know, that was signalized for the list in the comp plan. So we're working on other projects as we speak. so we prioritized the list for this year, and the only real difference between last year's list and this year's list is that the plan is to finish the Kelsey Blueberry Lane intersection improvements this year. So that was on last year's list. It would come off and not be represented for the 2020 to 2025 transportation plan. We also combined the Oak Street, old Owen Signal project with the Kearney Phase 3, also Oak Street project, because those were all listed separately on the comp plan. When you do them, we'll do them both at the same time. So we just combined them into one capital project. And then we also added what's known as the Americans with Disabilities Act ADA transition plan. We want to develop a transition plan this year. And so we will have that plan completed this year, and therefore it will be removed for the ensuing 6 years. So on that map that you're looking at, this is pretty much just an aerial of the city, and most of the projects are identified where applicable. Some are citywide, like number one, the road maintenance, annual road maintenance. This is citywide, so it doesn't have an individual identifier, but any of the other projects that are at a specific location are tagged up there. Just gives you a good overview of where we're talking about. Okay. And then this final list here is actually the transportation improvement plan, where we have projected costs for the projects by design or right-of-way or construction spacing, as well as potential sources for grant opportunities. So our transportation projects in general kind of rely heavily on grants to get them moving forward. So this is our goal, to do the projects. When grant opportunities come up, we apply for them. They're very competitive out here in this region. If we get the grant, great. If we don't get the grant, then the project may slip a year for another grant opportunity, or until we can find some other funding sources. But in general, this is our plan right there. At this time, that's pretty much the end of my presentation. If there's any questions or comments, to public comment.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to go to council for any points of clarification before we open up for public comment for the hearing. Councilmember Gamble, you're first.
Yeah, one point of clarification. The item number two, the 191st Street, I thought we discussed this. I'm actually surprised to see this on the plan.
Well, the last time we discussed this was the pit on hold. So it's in a pause. Now, next council meeting, study session, we're going to revisit the 191st post state legislative assembly. That's primarily the reason why we paused it. We weren't sure what the state's up to with the transportation package, as well as the funding costs.
Yeah, I guess the only thing we had talked about was a trail. Was the only thing we were interested in. The $5.6 million for the number two, that doesn't make sense. I mean, we pretty much unanimously thought the only real reason for that was for the second access out of there. So I remember us saying, hey, let's keep it open for a trail or a walkway, but $5.6 million doesn't sound like a trail or a walkway. That was my only clarification I was looking for.
Ms. Knight?
Staff had walked away from that meeting with the understanding, as Mr. Peterson had described, that it had been put on hold waiting for the legislative session to be completed to know what was happening with the extension of 522 through that section of right-of-way owned by WSDOT. If the council decides tonight that you want to take it off the list, then we would simply not come back to you at your study session next week and ask for direction from you. So it's a great opportunity. If you're not interested in it, we could simply remove it, and then that would clarify for staff and for community what your intentions are.
Unless I'm remembering wrong, I thought it was just for the trail, but I mean, we could go for public testimony first, but I didn't remember it that way. But I could be wrong.
Okay. All right, anything further, Councilmember Gamble?
Nope.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, I'm okay with removing that, but I don't know what the cost of the trail would be. I don't know if we've done work on what that cost would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done that. Because I would like to keep it on there for a trail. The other question I have was the sidewalk improvement.
that the ADA transition plan?
That's actually a separate item.
Okay.
Sometimes we come up with sidewalk needs that we didn't foresee far into the future.
Okay.
So it's just a placeholder to go and do sort of small works, quick strike to fix some sidewalks that need needed.
Okay. Like, is that sidewalk or the transition, what number is that on the plan?
Oh, well, it's on this year's list,
oh,
but
okay.
Next year it's supposed to be done. So
okay, we're taking it
off.
We're
into the
okay.
future here. So.
Okay, I didn't understand that. And has there been any talk or from the community at all about Centennial Trail and having that on?
I have not heard anything.
We had it on ages ago, you know, it came off, but there's been no discussion or talk or maybe we revisit it next year. Maybe.
Sure.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Knight.
So in regards to the Centennial Trail, we had worked with Snohomish County 2 years ago to include funding to move forward with the design of the stream crossings.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there was funding in the budget, Snohomish County Parks was unable to actually get that work started. And subsequently, Snohomish County has turned its attention from the connection between Snohomish and Monroe to the connections between Snohomish and Woodinville and Snohomish and Everett. And although we have it on our long-term list, it really just seems it's not a priority right now for the county, and we would much rather focus our attention on projects that really do seem like they have a viable opportunity to be completed within the 6-year plan.
Right. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
I'd like to back Councilman Young that we did talk about taking it off because the access or exit of all those houses on the Brown Road at the top end fulfilled the promise of having another egress from that area. So we talked about taking it off and just having it had another walking path for some time. So where it is from there, I don't know.
So we can certainly come back to discuss that after we open it up to public comments. Is there any other points of clarification for staff? All right. If there are no other points of clarification for staff, I'm going to go ahead and open the floor for public testimony on the TIP that has just been presented. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak? Ms. Baker, is there a sign-up sheet for people to speak?
No, Your Mayor, I believe the...
On the public hearing?
Public hearing, one individual wrote on the wrong public comment form.
Okay. Is there anybody here that would like to come forward to speak during the public hearing for what was just presented on? Okay, anybody at all? All right. Is there a motion? Councilmember Hanford?
I move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Gamble to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. So my understanding is what Councilmember Gamble stated. Yes, we're looking for trails and things like that, but as far as the transportation plan, we have the egress is something more like Councilmember Scarborough mentioned. So it's something that should be included in my opinion.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess I'm on that now, Aaron, and thinking it differently that I thought I recall that discussion, but I also recall us putting on hold post legislative session. Was my understanding at least. So, and the reason for that is just with the DOT and what possibly is going on with the trust law and whatnot. So, but final trails, I would still be interested in seeing if there was an efficient
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, just to inform the conversation, I too recall that there was an interest in waiting until the legislative session ended. What was the nature of your study session presentation going to be next week? Was it going to inform anything, or just simply say that it was not included in the transportation package?
Well, yeah, that was essentially kind of given a very broad update or overview of what transpired during the legislative session, and then just essentially bring the conversation back to the council and decide whether to cancel the design, you know, project, not be in a holding pattern as I had understood or misunderstood, but be in a holding pattern. What I'd be seeking at that point is direction to essentially cancel the contract with our design consultant and close the project up. So that's what the nature of next week's study session item would be.
Okay. And the team. It's okay. The TIP is to be adopted by July 1st?
That's correct.
Okay. In the event, and again, Council, you can go ahead and amend this to remove this and whatnot. In the event that Council might want to hear the full presentation next week, would they be able to decide on the TIP the following week and still meet the July 1st deadline?
Yes. So we can have it next Tuesday, 18th, mm-hmm. would be the present discussion about the 191st project. And that following week would be the adoption for the transportation plan. We still meet the RTW requirements.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson. All right, Councilmember Gamble.
So if I remember correctly, because we were given several different options, you know, that on this, the cheapest option was it 3.4 million to 4 million, just a single road.
No, the
or was it the 5-6?
It was the 5-6.
5-6, right? Because I mean, that's why I'm not, I mean, it's paid. It doesn't surprise me if you remember it in different ways, but it's I just don't see the reason to wait. I mean, I don't, for me personally, I don't need to see the study, because the last time we talked, I mean, we have a lot of stuff that we got to do. We've got a lot of. If you look at this list that we have here, there's how many items. We don't have funding sources. It's $5.6 million, and we can allocate that to a different project because we've already established it. Because even if we just said, hey, they're going to wait, if you spent 5.6, there's still the possibility in the near future, eventually you're going to lose that road. I mean, long term, that's the state's property. It just, the whole reason for us to do that, and the reason why we were kind of soldiering, forward, was to have that second access, because it was so important to us from a safety perspective. But that's been solved. I mean, it's been solved in spades, because I think we have two routes out of there now. So I personally don't think we need to see any more information. I mean, the trail stuff I do remember, and I thought that's what we were talking about, and that's probably maybe where the confusion came in, because I was interested in that. I mean, if we could, have a trail, access across or something like that. Very low, investment, that'd be great. But I have no interest of spending 5.6 million on another route. It doesn't make sense. So that my druthers would be to take it off tonight.
Okay. So, and I was just clarifying with staff. So you're not taking final action this evening on the TIP. What we're looking for is for direction. If council would like to have 191st removed from this, then. Staff can certainly have it removed for the final that will be coming back to you in 2 weeks for consideration. Cool. I got that right? Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
I'm glad we can hear what Councilmember Gamble said. I think I was going to brought up trails like a long time ago through there. And once we had this discussion last time, it doesn't make sense whatsoever. So I would be fine with moving.
Okay, so I want to get a sense, is there a consensus from, is there any objection to removing 191st from the TIP from council?
Well, I would like to keep it as a placeholder for trails.
Yeah, we're all in agreement there.
Okay.
Yep.
So removing the road portion off, but keeping it on as a project, but we don't know the price tag, but I would prefer to keep it on there for.
Okay, thank you. So I understand from Councilmember Cutaback, keep it on there as a trail. Councilmember Rasmussen?
I
I just got some hesitation on taking it completely off, knowing the future growth is going up there. So that's my only point. I hesitate on taking it off tonight.
Okay. And again, we're just looking for direction to give to staff. I think I'm hearing a consensus to remove the 191st extension from the TIP, and I think that I'm hearing a consensus to replace the 191st extension with a trail. And the trail would be something that would be appropriate for a TIP, just to confirm. And Brad's going like this.
Yeah, we have a session about just expanding our trail network.
Okay.
More blanket statement in our comment.
So let me ask a follow-up question. If 191st comes off the list, is there something else that should go back on the list based on some other adopted document?
No, this is the time for the council to come up with a 6-year plan, including what projects we want to have on it. Trails are an acceptable, non-motorized route. And so from our perspective, what we want to do is adopt a plan, and it sounds like consensus is we don't want a road there, but we would like a trail there. And then the simplest way to do that is just to replace kind of number two with the new number two for the trail. Come up with a quick cost estimate, see what that looks like, and just have it there in its final form on the 25th or adopted. If that's the way the council would like to go.
And I'm understanding that that is the way that council would like to go. Is there any objection? Councilmember Cutterback.
Question. Is that listed in the order of priorities? So are you saying that the trail then would become a number two priority?
That is technically a priority. Sometimes funding in terms of grants might change how we actually
get. So we can have a list of like that, but it isn't necessarily how they're going to get done.
Right.
Because of funding.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I don't know if I put that as a higher priority than something that comes a little, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and the council certainly could change order.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Ms.
Knight? I just want to clarify something for council to make sure that there's an understanding that just because we've removed it from the 6-year transportation improvement plan doesn't mean that it's removed as a project. It still stays as a project list on the city's comprehensive plan, and so it can definitely come back at any time that it becomes a priority for council in the future as a roadway system. So taking it out of the 6-year plan doesn't mean that it's no longer a viable project.
All right. I think we have direction from council to replace it with a trail. And you'll be bringing this back in 2 weeks. Councilmember Hanford, sorry.
I move to close the public hearing.
Second. I have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody. All right, we're going to go on to the next item on the agenda. That's public comments. This is the time set aside for members of the public to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet, and we have John Steima, who has signed in. Pastor Steima, please come forward. Thank you.
Hi, my name is John Steima. I reside at 1655 756th Street in Monroe. I'm here on behalf of the Monroe Gospel Women's Mission. The mission was founded in 2005. Here in Monroe, we have about 90 to 100 ladies that come through each year. They're homeless. We're the only shelter between here and Wenatchee. We serve single women. We've had about 1,400 women that have come through since we started in 2005. We have a 16-bed facility, and we also opened up a pregnancy house in January, named after my mother who passed away last March. And so we take about 3 women who are homeless and expecting a baby off the street and give them a place to stay. So we are very invested in the community. I've been here 20 years, started a church a number of years ago, 20 years ago. And so anyway, I just wanted to kind of give you an update as to where I'm coming from on this. We reside at 450 South of Lewis, the main mission house does. And I just have one concern. We have a gentleman that continues to park in front of our building there, right, 450 South Lewis, kind of corner of Lewis and Powell, just to kind of give you a place that we're at. And when our ladies and our house mom try to make a left turn from Powell Street onto Lewis Street, which is already a, can be a very hectic left turn anyway. This gentleman parks his truck right, he's got a big, big box truck that's white. We've asked him over the last year to move it. We've had the police ask him to move it twice at least, and he continues to park it there. We have basically three spots that are just on-street parking there, and pretty much takes all of them up, and we almost had a lady get hit the other day, and she was a pedestrian trying to cross because you can't see. And so I'm just asking the council for what their guidance would be, let's get some relief on this. I'm just kind of in the process of trying to figure this out. I have talked to a couple folks at the police department. I've not talked to the chief yet, but would like to get some help with this, whether it's that we make the area where you just can't park there for a little bit, or if we can get a sign. When we did change the mission from just a regular residential house into a house that can have more than, you know, five, you know, unrelated people to 16, we did go through a conditional use permit. I'm not exactly sure if that entitles us to anything else on the parking end of things, but I would just like to be able, for safety's sake and for, you know, homelessness is a problem in our town. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. And I realize we can't start setting up all over town, you know, this one wants this one wants that, but I do think that this is a very important issue. And so if I could get some help on that, I would appreciate that. And I just don't want to go back and forth between City Hall and police and go through a long process. I mean, we baked the guy cookies. We tried everything we could to try to resolve this as good neighbors, and I really don't want to have to be here tonight, but the safety of our ladies, and as we ask him to move, he continues to escalate his speech toward our ladies, and it's becoming concerning. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Stemmer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy Chessy.
Good evening, Council, and thank you for giving me a few minutes. I was the one who signed up on the wrong sheet. later on the agenda, the food bank is on for a week, but there's a couple things that I wanted to talk with you about before we got there. We were awarded $250,000 grant, and we need a year's lease for every $10,000, so we need 25 years. But we also need that 25 years from date of completion of our project. So I'm going to ask for 26 and a half to build in. I hope we're all ribbon cutting in July of 2020, but I would like to build in a few months because you know how projects go. They don't always go right on time. So there's that, and then also I sent the lease into our insurance agent. There were a couple things in there that we needed a rating, and because we're in a nonprofit pool, they don't pools don't get ratings, so that would have to be removed from the lease. And then also our insurer said that there is no such thing anymore as all risk coverage, but we do have the special forms like earthquake and flood, and we have all of those certificates to turn into the city. And then there is a section on our hours and our holidays. We do close on all federal holidays, so I would like to request that I submit what our schedule is for the year, probably every December.
Thank you,
Ms.
Chessy. So I was just conferring with our city administrator. This is item number 10, Council, on the consent agenda. It sounds like this item should be pulled from the agenda so that you and our city administrator can make those revisions to that. Ms. Knight?
I believe that the revisions that Ms. Chessy has identified should have all been incorporated into the materials that you see tonight, including the insurance requirements. I think the only thing that you spoke of that wasn't included were the hours of operation, which were Exhibit C, which were provided on the website. And certainly we can pull it and bring this back to you at your next council meeting if Ms. Chessy believes that there are additional changes that need to be made. So I apologize. I thought we had incorporated everything that she has brought for you before you tonight.
So I hadn't heard back, so I don't know. I don't have a final copy. The copy that I have does not have those changes.
My apologies. We incorporated everything that you had requested into the lease agreement, but certainly we can pull it and resolve this next week. Or
so we
on the 25th. Can
bumped further down the list for projects.
Ms. Chessy, is there a deadline that if this were to come back to council in 2 weeks, that we would end up missing?
No, but we just keep getting bumped down the project. We were at the top at one time, and now we keep getting bumped. So.
The attorney has reminded me that the materials that are in front of you this evening include making revisions as allowed, and so we could certainly work out these last few issues. They wouldn't be material to the contract as a whole.
Okay.
So you could approve it tonight. We could work out the details and get something that works for both parties.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to propose that I'm going to propose to the council that we pull agenda item number 10 and we'll slip that under new business.
You wouldn't need to pull it. You could actually just approve it as part of the consent agenda.
Oh, okay. All right. Because the language is already
exactly.
in there. All right. Do you have any concerns with that?
I do not.
Okay.
Thank
you very much. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Could you clarify in a moment when you'll this tonight? I've heard two different discussions. If I understand correctly, we're going to keep it tonight. The revisions have been applied, and the only thing we aren't seeing are the hours, which is true. Is that correct?
Right. So in the motion that's being made to authorize the mayor to sign the contract, it allows minor revisions, and so
right. and
these fall under the category of minor revisions.
But the time, dates, start dates, everything.
That can all be.
Yep, that's all.
That can all be resolved.
That's, I just
want to clarify.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Let me turn these off. Oh, you got it. Thank you, Councilmember Kent. Councilmember Cuddeback.
I was just going to say, I think that definitely it's 25 years, I think, in here, so that wouldn't be changed.
It should actually go through 2046, which is, I believe, what Ms. Chessy had originally requested.
Oh, okay. Yep, you're right.
So that should provide adequate
right.
time.
Yep. It looks like the insurance is an answer.
Exactly. I believe that we incorporated all the changes
okay.
that were suggested.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So to the extent that there are any changes that need to be made,
yeah.
we can
yeah.
make those
yeah.
for minor amendment.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening under public comment? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. That's the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I would like to pull item number 11, please.
Okay. Item number 11 on the consent agenda has been pulled. And we will come back to vote on that for council's consideration separately. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 10 and item number 12.
Second.
Okay. We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble for the consent agenda items 1 through 10. And item 12, that is to remove item number 11 for consideration for approval on the motion. Any discussion on the motion to approve those items? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and take item number 11 on the consent agenda item on the consent agenda now. Councilmember Rasmussen, you have this pulled.
Yes. I just want to formally disclose I'm an officer director.
Okay, thank you very much, Councilmember Rasmussen. Please let the record show that Councilmember Rasmussen is leaving chambers. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the Skydive parking license agreement and express the authorized further minor revisions deemed necessary or appropriate.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 19-131. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all...
132.
132, thank you. Again, that was for the requested action in Agenda Bill Number 19-132. Ms. Hassert, you must work with numbers. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Councilmember Rasmussen is now reentering chambers. Next item on the agenda is new business item number one. This is AB 19-134, ordinance number 12-2019, amending MMC 3.54.130, transportation impact fees for first reading. Mr. Peterson.
Hello again. The Bill 19-134 is essentially a little bit of housekeeping. Every year we look at the construction cost index, known as the CCI, and we essentially engage this construction cost inflation. And we adjust our transportation impact fees based on this index every year so we can try and ride the inflation rates. We do a 5-year trailing average, and the difference between last year's calculation and this year's calculation is about a 1.4% increase in our impact fee rates, or a 1.4% inflation rate increase. So we propose to then just increase our transportation impact fees by that 1.4%. And so what you see in the agenda bill is how the table is currently and how it will become should the ordinance pass. That's about it.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson. Council, do you have any questions or a motion? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to accept as first reading ordinance number 012-2018, amending chapter 3.54.120 MMC transportation impact fees, updated in the city's codified transportation impact fee schedule pursuant to MMC 3.54.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 19-134. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is... we're moving to final action. Item number one, this is AB 19-135, ordinance number 011-2019, amending MMC 13.08 sewer system regulations for final reading. And Ms. Knight.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. The issue in front of the Council this evening is to have second reading and adoption of an interim ordinance which would limit extension of the city's sewer system into the unincorporated UGA urban growth area. The reason for the interim ordinance is that we have the comprehensive plan which indicates that those extension of sewers should be prohibited. We updated our development regulations, and there now appears to be some inconsistencies between the current allowance to allow a developer agreement and the city's comprehensive plan which prohibits extensions. And so we'd like this opportunity to go back and evaluate the current regulations and bring back to council then some suggested changes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Knight. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I move to adopt ordinance number 011/2019, amending chapter 13.08 MMC sewer system regulations, prohibiting the extension of sanitary sewer service beyond the city limits until the subject property is formally annexed to the city, entering legislative findings, providing for severability, establishing an effective date, and providing for a six-month effective term.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second, I believe, from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cuddeback.
So I did not vote for this in May, but I am voting for it tonight. Just I've had time to review it, so
thank you very much, Councilmember Cuddeback. All right, any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody. Next item on the agenda is final action number 2. This is AB 19-136, ordinance number 013-2019, adopting MMC Chapter 22.12, definitions related to, Title 22, Unified Development Regulations for first and final reading. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So the Unified Development Regulations that Council recently adopted, unfortunately, in the final reading, the definitions chapter did not transfer from the first reading folder over to the second reading folder. Therefore, it was not officially adopted by Council. The definitions chapter went through the Planning Commission, went through public hearing, went through first reading by Council, but on the final reading, when the 30-some files were grabbed from one file to the other, for some reason, that one dropped off. And so to come back and officially adopt it and codify it, we had to bring it back before Council for final action or final approval under a separate ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or motion from Council? Councilmember Scarborough.
Move the way Council rules.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Scarborough, a second from Councilmember Hanford for requested action A as typed on Agenda Bill Number 19-136. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Move to adopt ordinance number 013-2019, amending Monroe Municipal Code Title 22, Unified Development Regulations, adding new MMC Chapter 22.12, definition to rectify their omission from ordinance number 005/2019, which adopted and codified MMC Title 22, providing for severability and establishment.
I have a motion from Councilmember Scarborough, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action B as typed in Agenda Bill Number 19-136. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is final action number 3. This is AB 19-137. Ordinance number 014-2019, adopting emergency interim zoning regulations to Chapter 22.90 MMC temporary encampments. Final reading, Mr. Swanson.
Great. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So on your desk in front of you, you'll see a paper copy of the proposed emergency ordinance. The difference between the paper copy and the one that you viewed online are the whereas clauses that were adjusted. The body of the ordinance and the proposed code to be adopted remains the same. So as staff discussed with Council earlier in the year on their program of work, one of the big projects we're going to do is look at our affordable housing ordinances, and that included our temporary homeless encampments. And if you saw the more recent article in the newspaper about a proposed homeless encampment, we decided to kind of move things up a little faster and start reviewing our existing ordinance that deals with that. What we discovered is that ordinance was adopted before the state changed some regulations in 2010. And so just for consistency with state requirements, we're putting forward this emergency code amendment just so we ensure we're 100% in compliance with state law and essentially don't get caught in a bad situation if a homeless encampment does decide to come in. As of right now, we do not have an application for a temporary encampment, so we don't see anything on the immediate future, but just for the plate on the safe side, we'll propose an emergency ordinance. After that, we'll go through our normal course action of, you know, Planning Commission taking public input and bringing it back to Council with any amendments. The way the ordinance is drafted right now, it basically is middle of the road. We didn't go over strict on anything. We didn't make any liberal allowances for anything. We looked at some various codes and basically tried to cut right down the middle. There are some things in there that will absolutely be discussed when we take it to the Planning Commission. There's various things as far as, you know, setbacks of the structures from neighboring property lines. Currently, it's, you know, proposed at 20 feet. That could be increased. There's various other policies that that can be discussed during the actual process. But again, just to make sure that we're in the best possible position if we do get an application for proposing an emergency ordinance.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Swanson. Council, do you have any questions? And if you're going to make a motion, I think just to keep the record straight, the motion would be for the substitute ordinance number 014-2019, which is at your positions. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Cutaback.
So I saw you talked about checking IDs, and I think the phrase was take reasonable and legal steps to it.
Which, I'm sorry, which subsection are you on?
It's just for the talking about logging in people.
Or even the page numbers.
Yeah,
page six. So keep a log of names and dates.
Yeah, and then they say take the applicant would take, I think, reasonable and all legal steps to obtain an ID. So what does that look like? What would be a reasonable step they would take? So it seemed like that would be a hard thing to do.
With the
Mr. Lowe?
Thank you. I think that that's a deliberately, I don't want to say vague, but a deliberately
right.
fluid concept, and I think that it attempts to implicitly capture the fact that homeless populations, by definition, oftentimes don't have
right.
the same type of identification ability that other residents would necessarily, and I think that because of that, a standard of reasonableness, I think, is inherently fluid and able to adjust to the circumstances. So I think what would be reasonable in one circumstance might not be called for in another, depending on the particular individual situation that has presented itself. I think having this provision in the city's ordinance, which incidentally I think is fairly common, and looking at the various codes that Mr. Swanson reference that other municipalities have adopted, this is one that I think shows up repeatedly in other jurisdictions. I think the intent here is just to ensure that there is some attempt made by the camp sponsor or managing agency to have some basic understanding of who actually is in the camp,
right.
whether those individuals potentially do pose a danger.
Right.
And I think that from my perspective, it is a reasonable step. It's ultimately a policy judgment call for the city council as to whether or not to require something like this. If it's the council's preference, there's certainly no legal mandate to include it, but this, in keeping with what Mr. Swanson indicated as the staff's attempt for the city to essentially swim in midstream, does precisely that.
And just to follow up on
yeah.
that, so from an application standpoint, if they could not document or provide identification for someone in the camp, it would be something that we just require essentially the explanation what attempt did you make essentially to do it, as opposed to we're just going to do it kind of thing.
Yeah. And for this, to get the application, it's an administrative kind of review
Correct.
For the application. So we put in there's no opportunity for public comment on the application.
So there is notice, and with any application, there's always time for public comment.
Right.
And it just wouldn't be in the format of like a hearing examiner, where it would. Where it's a formal hearing in front
right.
of it, but there's always when you issue the notice of application, there's the comment period that's associated with it, and then when those comments come in, essentially they're reviewed by staff, and you look for essentially code-related issues.
Okay, it just
seemed
like I said there was no
different, obviously, than a public hearing. And then there was something about the applicant holding a community meeting, and they were obligated to do that. That's
correct.
Me.
Correct.
Yeah, which actually. So there, so it sounds like it's on the applicant to provide mailing notice to owners of the property within 500 feet and hold a community meeting. I read that as the applicant who's doing that, not the city. Is that correct?
Correct. And as far as notification requirements in general, where we do the 500-foot mailing, traditionally, the way things have been up until probably about 10 years ago is it was the applicant's responsibility for any land use action, essentially, to provide notice. And in this one, again, kind of reviewing everyone else's code, and as the city attorney stated, looking for that midstream flow, we just essentially pulled and duplicated from other jurisdictions' code requirements. On this one, you essentially look for or require some type of proof of mailing or distribution list that the applicant sent those out, and essentially an affidavit that's signed that they did perform those mailings. And then, obviously, at any type of community meeting, the staff will be in attendance that they have also listen in and answer questions if needed.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. This is in line with the current state position on temporary encampments?
Correct.
Okay, I have a question about 2290.010, section 8. Page 2 of 10. I noticed that, just as a reference, so the temporary camp, you're allowed to put, just in terms of the property, you're allowed to put up a tent encampment for up to 90 days every year. And it's not to exceed that, I assume.
I'm sorry, I missed the last part.
It's not to exceed the 90-day period. So essentially, you've got 3 months, 3 out of 12 months, you can establish a temporary camp.
Correct.
The question I have is are there any restrictions for locations near schools, location near driveways, thoroughfares, that kind of thing? Any, so if you had a piece of property, you just wanted to build a, or have a temporary camp there for 90 days, you could do it anywhere on your property within, as long as you've notify the people, their neighbors. But you could just establish it and it could be right up to the street, basically, if it's on your property.
Yeah, so there are some setback provisions. However, with the state requirements, it was basically more looking around religious institutions,
right,
and written more towards those religious organizations and providing those allowances, because prior to the 2010, there was a lot of legal cases and communities having issues with either trying to host them or not host them. And so that's when the state stepped in and basically said, okay, religious organizations, we're going to make this provision for you and put it in there.
And I think this is where the city attorney is going to step in and answer my question.
Mr. Lowe?
I think so, and I will take a stab at that. And if I'm not answering your question correctly, please let me know. But I think the way that this current draft is formatted, there's essentially a self-limiting restriction on the ability of just the average property owner to host an encampment on his or her property. That individual could do that. There's nothing in this document that necessarily prohibits it on a zone-specific basis. But if I could direct your attention to the maximum density provision in subsection D at the top of page 3, as a practical matter, that's going to effectively limit any meaningfully sized encampment to a large institutional-type property owner. And I think would largely, as a practical matter, if not prohibit, then at least severely constrain the ability of the run-of-the-mill homeowner or small lot owner.
If I could be directed, what I'm really concerned about are the we have churches on that street, and they have large lots in the back and they have small lots and there's small sections of property in front, would they be able to put the temporary encampment near the street? I don't know if that would have safety considerations or not, as opposed to having it located further back in the property to give them more privacy.
So under
that's where I was going with this.
Under the current draft, I believe the only real restriction there would be the setback requirement. There are some other provisions that I think peripherally touch on that, but there's nothing that would outright restrict the specific location of the encampment on a particular piece of religiously owned property beyond that.
That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? Councilmember Cutback?
Just to follow up on my notice one, because page 6 under B, public notice, you're saying that people would have an opportunity to get comments, but it says here, due to the administrative and temporary nature of the permit, there is no comment period. So is that different then?
So comment period, I guess, are two different things.
Okay.
So the comment period is an actually established timeline of 14 days that's typically associated with the application. As far as receiving public comment, we're always, public comment is.
Right. They can come here and do public comment.
Or they could write us. I mean, if there's something, obviously, they catch an error that in our judgment or the way that we're going, and they want to say, hey, code to, you're essentially going against code. Those are things we want to know, from the public. And so comment period is what they're talking about is that standard 14-day comment period that's associated with most land use applications.
Okay.
But however, the public comment, we receive those throughout.
Okay. I just want to make sure people had an opportunity to give comments. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for staff or a motion? Councilmember Davis.
So I'll move to adopt ordinance number 04-2019 sub. Is that correct?
Yes.
Adopting interim zoning amendments to chapter 22.9 MFC temporary encampments, updating the city's provisions regulating temporary homeless encampments in order to reflect current state law, setting forth preliminary supported findings, requiring post-addition public hearing, providing for separability, declaring a private or public emergency, and establishing immediate effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Davis with a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action in Agenda Bill number 19-137, with the exception that where the reference is to ordinance number 014-2019. Instead, it's ordinance number 014-2019 sub, which is the ordinance that was presented to council at the dais this evening and presented by our community development director. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody. All right, next item on the agenda is we're moving into council member reports. I'll go ahead and start down the line. Council member Scarborough. Okay. Council member Cutaback. Thank you. Council member Hanford. I'll get your button there. Sorry.
Thank you. Yes, I would really like it if we could have staff look into Pastor Simon's request.
Sounds good.
And see if we can do something there.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Staff will come back and report on that. All right. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Continuing the family tradition of AF filings on Saturday and congratulating and waving farewell to all of our high school graduates. So, always been on time, even though my kids are far from age graduating. They enjoy it every year. And then just a reminder that June 29th is track and row, still looking for many volunteers. Brad and his Ham Radio
Thank you. Councilmember Davis, anything this evening?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Camp, anything?
Thank you. Two things. First, I have to answer this question.
Yes, please. That'll make my life easier over here. Thank you. There you go.
I spoke with the manager of the Harbor Freight. There's first attempt at a tent sale, and she actually said that the little glitches she had were helped by city staff, so
good.
Kudos to the city staff to take care of that. And which had a very successful sale. The other thing is I have been nominated for a position on the Snohomish County Planning Commission. There will be a vote later this month for the appointment, and if it hopefully works, I will be not available on the fourth Tuesday of every month for the duration of my term.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, not yet.
Well, congratulations on the nomination. We'll congratulate you again in a couple weeks. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Couple things. So HPAC met last Thursday. We had a presentation from, blanking here for a second.
Allison?
Yeah, it was United Way. From the United Way, so continuing kind of our the education piece and getting the totality of homelessness view. But then we really were able to dive in, the committee was, more around the discussion of where, now that we've consumed so much information and we've gotten, you know, a ton on where really the priorities they feel. And it was resounding across the board, you know, obviously safety and enforcement is a, you know, we basically started saying, hey, we really need to come in and hone in on some pillars, kind of some, you know, four or five pillars around and recommendations around those pillars. Safety and enforcement was the number one for everybody that was involved, not far from everybody up here that we've discussed even before they went to HPAC. And I just wanted to share, the one thing I wanted to share with, there was a slogan that one of the members shared that night that kind of was the consensus, because there's a very, it's a very diversified group. What's been really neat is to watch, you know, people kind of come together. I mean, everybody is very much wanting to take care of the homelessness, you know, issue in a loving way, but also kind of be, you know, firm at the same point of wanting to take care of the issues that are out there. And so the statement that was made, and I'm forgetting who it was.
Rachel Adams.
Rachel Adams brought this up, and it was great. She says, how do we make it hard to be homeless and easy to get out? So that's kind of the, and once she said it, everyone, someone, you know, we started saying, oh, that's a great kind of a rally cry from a, you know, for the group. So they're kind of honing in on that, making it hard to be homeless and easy to get out, kind of that type of approach. So that's the update there. And then on Friday, I did get to part of the graduation season. Participate in the Leaders in Learning graduation of the high school. They had 24 individuals that graduated, and then another 14 of them chose to walk. And I think the reason why it just kind of really sits with me right now is going through the HPAC stuff and seeing all the statistics. You know, and one of the biggest things you talk about, generational homelessness and that, and those that are at risk. It just really reemphasized for me that our programs that we have in place throughout the Sky Valley, where we are, you know, making sure that we're putting that safety net there. That's another one of them that we have in our community, and from an education perspective, that maybe there's a way to double down from a city involvement, you know, perspective, whatever the case may be. But got to give away some scholarship money, so these are kids that weren't on track to graduate, or were in camps, or whatever the case may be, that now graduated, and then some of them received multiple scholarships to whether it was trade schools or Everett Community College. So it was a great night. So that's it.
Thank you. Before we move on to staff, the clerk of the clerk will read into the record ordinance AB 19-133, which council approved as part of the consent agenda.
An ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending the budget for fiscal year 2019 to account for actual beginning fund balances and new revenues and expenditures, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Thank you. And that, again, is ordinance number 010-2019, and that was approved by the council as part of its consent agenda. Thank you. We're going to go ahead now and go to staff department reports. Parks and Recreation update from Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So, you have the attachment of the department's update that's been going on in the past month. The Street Park Playground replacement, so that work has been underway. I believe sometime this week. They haven't started already, I didn't check this afternoon, but they're going to be working on the rubberized surfacing for the playground. So hopefully in the next 2 to 3 weeks we'll schedule a ribbon cutting, a grand opening ceremony for the new playground at the park. And then also last month, you know, with the urban forestry project, the Puget Sound 14, they did a lot of work pruning trees and maintaining mitigation areas throughout our city, so we appreciate the work that they did. There's also the flowers downtown, so the last phase of the annual flowers program will be the flowers that are currently growing in prison. So within the next 2 weeks, we'll have those flowers planted in the end caps along Main Street and Lewis Street. So then operations, yeah, there was the Touch a Truck event, I believe that was last weekend, so the parks department had a booth out there. And then you also know about the Foothills Wetland Reserve naming, which occurred last month as well. Monthly report on unmarked trails, just want to let you know, so just running through this last month, point out that on the 6th of May, there was a large quantity of trash at Barlin Park that was adjacent to the railroad tracks, and there was also one camp found at Sky River Park, so the police were contacted. And then I just want to note here that actually during no inspections of unmarked trails were performed by park staff during the last 3 weeks of May, and that was due to a staffing shortage and also coupled with competing high priority tasks that needs elsewhere. As you know, we want clean, safe, accessible parks, so you know, between clean restrooms, litter, playgrounds, athletic fields, facility reservations, events, and capital project work. Also coupled with the fact that we have on board, now we have 3 seasonals, but a week ago we had 2 seasonals, and we need 5 seasonals. It's been a tight labor market, so there's been challenges there as well. We struggled there, but in the future, if we find that we are short staffing, we'll make it part of our regular procedure to request possible assistance from another department, if it's feasible and that assistance is available. So, anyways, then the following week, then after we're able to, well, not the following week, on June 4th, there were 2 camps found at Scarborough Park, which was contacted, and there's just been more activity at Urbana, Borland Park sign, and also the police have been contacted on that. But you'll notice in the garbage, litter, and whatnot that it actually it was okay. It was a couple bags worth. I mean, just that's just a quantity, you know, just debris or litter in the park there. So. So we kind of got through that, but we'll make better effort there. Also, stuff that aren't things that aren't in the report. I want to let you know that our skate park, our staff, we replaced sections of chain link fencing that had become worn down at the park with a thicker gauge fencing. So that's improved the safety and the look of that facility there. And then last, I just want to note that that is a maquette, as they call it, a scaled down version. We have jokes about movies where, that's a side note, the spinal tap. Anyways, there it is. It lights up. It looks like the batteries are not been used up yet.
Unplug it. Could have fried an egg on that.
Okay. There. So now lighting the piece of art wasn't really part of the proposal, but it appears that that's a goal there. So we're going to look at that opportunity to actually have lighting in there. And so this is representative of what it will look like. It is not exactly, you know, as far as the quality and whatnot, but it looks pretty darn good. So that you see the stainless steel, and as far as one the shell of the material there, and then there's also something called Corten steel. That's what there's a tree on the inside curve of that, and that curve represents mountain goats, which are, this is representative of connections to our natural environment around us. So there's the shape of the mountain goat horn, silhouettes of mountain peaks. They have representative silhouettes of mountain peaks in there, but they're actually going to look at and take photos of what views are of the mountains surrounding us in the Cascades. So then they will have them representing what our views are, Monroe views of the mountains. And then also the river water, you can see that, the stream, the Skagit River. And then that Corten steel is evergreen tree, you know, which is in the indoor area. And then what they're going to do is source the rock there from the Skagit River somewhere. So so again, a lot of connections to our community. And Katie Darrow and I, we met with the two artists this morning, and then you know, we saw that, so I want to share that with you. And you really need to, it's not something that's easily passed around here, so after the meeting, take a close look. But we'll be able to keep it for a few weeks at least. I know that we'll probably have it back just to kind of continue to use it as they continue with their work as far as the design. But anyways, it'll be here for the next few weeks if you'd like to take a close-up look at it. So what we're next steps here is that we will be preparing an agreement that we'll schedule for the July 9th City Council meeting. We will also invite the artists to come and introduce themselves to you, so and they can answer questions for you. So we're really excited about this, and so then they feel very confident that they will have this work completed before the end of November, which is what we put on the timeline. So that's all I have for.
Mr. Farrell, how high is the pedestal that this is going to be on?
So it's 12 feet, but it also will be sitting on a plinth, right, Brent?
Yes.
So a short little pedestal looks, so, probably.
So this will be between 12 and 14
12
feet?
12 and 14 feet.
Up to the top?
Yeah.
That'll be pretty big. And it'll be on the southeast
corner?
It'll be
on the southeast. We're looking at the southeast corner of Main and Lewis. So.
Okay.
Preliminary locations, but we'll follow that up with utility staff to confirm that spot, that location.
I think it looks really cool. I appreciate all the work that the committees did to, you know, to review these and select them. So thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, thanks for the report. I appreciate just you know the readout on the in the kind of the miss on the bags of litter deal. I think if anything, you know. Just from feedback, not only from you know citizens, but also from the HPAC and the way that the recommendations go in there. Whatever we have to, I mean, that to me goes with safety and enforcement, and you know the reason why we made the investment and you know the UTV, all the different things that we did to make sure that we're patrolling those parks or whatever. This whatever we have to do to make sure that we don't have a weak gap. Especially as we're looking at, you know, kind of the trended results and just what's going on around, we just can't take a week off, in my opinion. So, but appreciate the proactive call out. But that would be my ask.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, one last thing is this weekend. Just want to mention that there's a scheduled Legends baseball tournament this weekend at Scarborough Park, and then also so June 15th. Bring your appetites because you can start out and have breakfast. Don't eat too many things at the Monroe Community Senior Center because then you need to save your appetite for the Grill Fest at Lake Tide Park. So,
nice.
That's this weekend?
Sure.
Confirming that's this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next update is from our police department. Chief Jolly. I almost called you Councilmember Jolly. Sorry.
Demoted.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Police Department's doing well. As you can see here, we're starting with our community outreach team. They continue to be active and engaged and making numerous contacts out there. Sometimes it's a little hard if you're comparing this to a batting average. You look at the statistics and you go 1 for 20 and sometimes you can get discouraged, but you do see down there that so far this year, we've had 3 inpatient treatment graduations. That was kind of brought home to me this evening when I was in a meeting with the mayor and his night, and we saw an individual not related to our program who had that week is substance abuse issue, and he's working on resolving his homeless issue. He get a temporary couch surfs in a stable environment for him, but it's those small wins and those gains that really add up and make you appreciate the effort sometimes when the numbers can get you down. As part of the community outreach program, we're going to be announcing a new officer into that program, and that'll alleviate Sergeant Paul Ryan from serving two duties as both the supervisor as well as the main contact officer. So we'll be putting that out Friday. Down to patrol, you see May 20th, Frank Wagner had a burglary in which several laptops were stolen. A little concerning, caused a little stress throughout the PD. We started scrambling to find our usual suspects, and fortunately, as part of the administrative duties that our administrative staff has, besides crime analysis and these kind of things, intelligence, Renee Ackery was able to find somebody offering up a similar computer on OfferUp, the app. Our PROAC officers set up on that and were able to make contact with the person selling it. Long story short, we've recovered most of the laptops and found the culprits, not to be our known criminals, but six male students from our own high school. And that's been dealt with. We continue to research that and find a couple outstanding computers. Continuing on the next page, on May 8th, this is just one instance of Officer Cornish of our PROAC unit doing some aggressive patrol and making stops, observing people, doing proactive crime enforcement. This particular one is in Portland Park. But we have had this team do multiple very similar stops this previous month. And one example is a stop that resulted in returning $2,800 of stolen merchandise to Lowe's because these officers are out in the community in unmarked vehicles, observing what's going on. It's very positive. Another case that they worked last month that's not on there was a report of drug trafficking coming out of a motorhome. That motorhome has since been impounded and remains impounded, and a search warrant was served on that, so that was a very positive outcome. Our statistics, we continue to keep engaged, and we see the dispatch and self-initiated calls. One item I bring your attention to is the public records request near the bottom. You can see that we're ahead of where we've been the previous 2 years, but I would note what characteristics not reflected in these is that these requests that are coming to us are coming sometimes from serial requesters, as well as the requests are quite large and time-consuming. So while the numbers are up, also the volume that's contained within these requests is going up. And then I'm kind of proud of the very last one, our interpretation and translation services. We did 81 last month, and if you put that in perspective and think of 81 people in our community that do not speak English were served by this police department, I think that's a pretty good feat. So I'm proud of those three individuals that we have in our department. Then on the next page, going to community events, awesome event, the MPLA was able to give $1,000 scholarships to three Monroe High School youth. Very awesome that our police department and our officers support this effort. And this has been going on long before I was here, but that's a very phenomenal program. I had the pleasure of attending the next one, the well-deserved, a young lady named Genesis Holdaway, who lives in Arlington, was here visiting with her grandmother at a food bank, and her grandmother had a fall on her walker and had a severe head injury. Genesis was able to keep her composure, call 911, direct them to the scene, keep her grandmother's head elevated, and keep her comforted until medical arrived, and kept her composure. Officer Jake Carswell brought this to my attention, and I was very impressed that he felt this young lady needed recognized. Her situation's less than ideal, and we went out to the middle school in Arlington than it was for that young lady, so it was a very great event. Last but not least, there's our most handsome officer hamming it up at one of these events at the Take the Next Step Kids Club. That's about it.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I'll leave that to council members.
Are there any questions for Chief Jolly? Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you, Chief. Great report. Did you happen to hear there was a national NPR article on the Everett Police Force and their community outreach person? Did you happen to hear that?
I did not.
Okay. We're going to see where it is. It's great stuff.
You know, I think it's kind of interesting, and maybe it's that we haven't been good at self-promoting or giving our message out.
Yeah.
You know, the mayor was instrumental in helping getting us to be one of the first community outreach programs. Others have followed, but gotten more publicity.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's a line there and a balance.
Yeah.
And, but it's duly noted that some of our good deeds go underreported.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that.
Thank you. Anything further for Chief Jolly? All right. Thank you very much, Chief. Next person reporting out is Mr. Feilberg. And Mr. Feilberg, will you hit your mic? Sorry, Mike. That's why we keep you seated over there, Mike. I asked Brad to hit Mike. Sorry. Mr. Feilberg.
Well, I did hit my mic. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Mayor of Council. As usual, the status of the projects is in the packet. I'd like to bring your attention to a few things. Is that the City of Monroe is in compliance with the Growth Management Act. We are actually able to take advantage of the $1.3 million grant we received for redoing the storm drainage on Madison Street. So as soon as we got notification that that happened, we called them and they sent out the contracts to us. So we get that work, and that also allows us to be eligible for the $3.5 million of funding from the Department of Energy for the Blueberry Stormwater project that we're working on. I think it's $2.6 million in grant and $900,000 in a low interest loan. So both of those projects are underway. Blueberry and Kelsey, we received agreement from Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railroad and the Washington State Utilities and Transportation Commission that we can go ahead with making the crossing arm a little bit longer so that we can have some two northbound lanes. So we are working on that project. There's still lots of paperwork for the railroad to fill out. we're hosting a ham radio class this coming up weekend in the Mineral Coordination Center. And just a reminder, field day is on the 22nd. So see Mr. Camp there again.
I'd be on.
Okay, yeah. And let's see if we have something here. The Puget Sound Keeper and the Washington Environmental Council have what's called a nature scorecard, which rates the communities in the Puget Sound area on how good they are doing under the low impact development standards that are required for development in this part of the country now. Last year they called us and said we were not doing well, they didn't like what we were doing. So we worked with them over the last year, actually showing that we were actually doing this stuff, we were just not telling them how we were doing it. And so we have become a Green Star City, which says that we were awarded to cities and counties that went above and beyond the permit requirements and truly embraced low impact developments in their codes. These champions are creating livable, resilient communities that will protect our waterways for generations to come. So our staff in the Public Works Department has worked really hard with the people who do that scorecard to show them how we are complying with the regulations. And so that was nice of them to recognize us for that. And that is all I have.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Feilberg. Are there any questions for Mr. Feilberg? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Coming up here then, we have our City Administrator update, Ms. Knight.
I too want to give recognition to our attorney, Zach Lowe, for the work that he did in preparing for the Growth Management Hearings Board hearing. The Growth Management Hearings Board determined that the city is in compliance, as Brad had said, and that's important in order to receive those grants and to move forward. So thanks to Mr. Lowe for the work that he did in preparing for it. They asked a lot of really difficult questions, and Mr. Lowe was very prepared to answer them all, and as a result, we finally have a determination that we're consistent with the Growth Management Act. I also want to recognize the work that our staff has been doing with hosting interns this year. We have a number of interns, and we actually received an additional $5,000 grant. I know that Ms. Hassard and Mr. Worthen and staff work together, and that'll bring on yet another intern that will be paid for through the Washington Finance Officers Association. So again, good news. Cool. They've been really helpful in moving forward in a couple of different areas, and I think they too are finding that the internships have been helpful to them as well. Tarragon proposal was presented to a joint meeting of the Planning Commission and the Economic Development Advisory Board at last night's Planning Commission meeting, and I think that the Planning Commission and Economic Development Advisory Board did a great job at weighing in on issues of concern related to the project. That project will be coming back to Council at your next meeting, your study session next Tuesday. You'll have an opportunity then to hear the public comment that's come back. I don't think there will be any surprises at all. I think there's a lot of consistency with the idea that the project overall looks good. There's some lingering concerns around the amount of retail space that is included in the proposal, some questions around parking. But again, I think that next week nothing will be of a real surprise to Council if you've been paying attention to the project and watching kind of social media responses to it. Following the Council's deliberations next week and direction from Council, then the intent for Tarragon is to make any final changes to the site design and then bringing those back to you on the 25th, and that will then include a proposal for a purchase price. So you'll have an opportunity to deliberate on that as well. For the Finish 522 campaign, we are wrapping up this year's legislative session tomorrow night here in Council Chambers at 6:30 p.m., and it'll be an opportunity for everybody to report out the work that was done during this last legislative session. I think I had mentioned before that we were really successful in getting $12.8 million for design for the Paradise Lake Road interchange, and then another $10 million in the following biennium for continued design work. So we're really pressing forward now to get a transportation package passed that would include the entire $180 million that's needed to do both the Paradise Lake Road interchange and the roadway widening. So we will have a number of speakers at tomorrow night's meeting, including representatives from WSDOT explaining what the projects are and the timeline to get those accomplished. Downtown property owners, we're holding an open house for business and property owners in the historic downtown, and that is on Wednesday, June 19th from 8 to 9:30 a.m. If you're interested in attending, could you please contact either Elizabeth Atkinson or Pam Baker and let them know so we can notice the meeting properly. We're going to be having a number of booths there, showing things that are happening in the downtown that might affect downtown business owners. We're also offering a coffee with a cop as a way to bring more people into the meeting, hopefully, and a pastry with a planner. So if you're interested in having a planner, a pastry, we're also offering that as an enticement to downtown business and property owners.
Oh my goodness.
I know that Mr. Farrell had mentioned staffing shortages in parks, and I just want to reiterate that this is what full employment looks like. We are just having a very difficult time this year. Now, we're not the only ones, clearly. Other cities are also experiencing the same type of shortage with finding qualified applicants. Literally, we are calling people right after we interview them only to find out that they've already accepted another job. So it has been a difficult year for staying on top of some of those items, particularly in the summer months when the Parks Department is so busy trying to set up for special events and services. As Mr. Farrell mentioned, though, we have a plan B to ensure that we are getting around to our parks, and we'll be working as a team to make sure that that happens. For upcoming agendas for next week, it appears then that we will not be talking about in our study session 191st Street, so I really appreciate the direction that Council provided to us this evening. We will be bringing back an update on school safety, and this has been part of what we've been doing annually just to ensure that we're aware of what the school district is working on regards to school safety and what their priorities are. And then, as I mentioned before, the feedback from the Planning Commission meeting and the Economic Development Board joint meeting together from last night. Moving forward then into the 25th, you can again see we'll be bringing back the Transportation Improvement Plan, amendments to the transportation impact fees, and then the Shoreline Master Plan will be coming back to you as well for action. And that is all. Looking forward, your meeting on the 2nd has been canceled for observation of the 4th of July. So hard to believe we're already practically into the middle of summer already, but here we are.
Councilmember Gamble?
Just a question on that. When we the study session around the safety officers, if there was a couple takeaways from the last time we were are we going to have updates on like county for the other schools, that type of stuff? Okay.
Yes. In fact, Chief Jolly and I just met on Monday with Dr. Smith from the school superintendent, and she provided us with an update on where they're at with trying to get additional support out in the schools that are not inside the city limits.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. Just as a reminder, I will be absent at the next week's city council meeting. I will also be absent on Tuesday, July 9th.
Okay. And I heard that Councilmember Gamble will also be out on July 9th. Okay. He'll be here next week. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Reminder, I'll be out July 16th.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? All right, any other questions for Ms. Knight? All right, just a quick rundown on a couple of things. I've had a busy last couple of weeks. Thursday last week I attended the Housing Affordability Response Team at Snohomish County. And that group is reviewing strategies to bring forward more affordable housing in Snohomish County. There were a number of cities represented. We had mayors, approximately 6 to 8 mayors in the room. So it seems like a good group. Just like our HPAC, with this being only the 2nd or 3rd meeting, there's a lot of background information that is just sort of a download of what there is out there to bring more affordable housing to our communities. I have a number of meetings that I had to reschedule for late last week and this week due to some things that were going on. A number of the meetings that I have this week, I've got about 3 or so that relate to tiny homes or FEMA shelters. This afternoon I met with, apparently there are 2 proposals at the New Hope Church. One is for tiny homes, the other one is for putting up FEMA shelters, these small units that apparently can fit 2 people in like a bunk bed is the picture that was shown to us this evening. But just be aware that there are actually 2 proposals that are being talked about by that church. And that was one thing that I don't think it quite dawned on me until I was talking with Mr. Swanson today at lunchtime about the meeting that I had this evening. So anyway, I have another meeting with somebody later this week about homelessness and tiny homes or shelters, and then have the 522 meeting, and then a meeting with Representative Eslick. I also met with Tarragon last night in advance of the Planning Commission meeting and sort of express some of the thoughts that I have. I'm reviewing the proposal myself. I see the 3-story residential. I would personally like to see more. At the end of the day, it's going to be council's decision on what you want to do there. But I express my interest in having a little bit more mixed use, maybe having more residential development than is there in their proposal. You'll be hearing from Planning Commission and Economic Development Advisory Board comments next week, and I look forward to hearing your deliberation. I understand that we just have 1 more payment or 2 more payments on the North Kelsey, and as you're aware, the council has been able to move forward with developing a strategy to pay off what's remaining, and we did that in part to make certain that If the council wanted to ask for, you know, go for something more, that you have the ability to do that. So I encourage you to take a look at the comments and consider what you want there. And you know, I thank you for really weighing in on the choice that you're going to be presented over the next couple weeks there. And I think that's all that I have for right now. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right. I thank everybody very much. I don't think that we have a need for an executive session this evening. The answer is no. We have no further business this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Aye. Motion passes 7-0. We are adjourned. Arr. Thank you.
Scott.
That's
okay.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't hear anything. I still think my figure stretch.
She said she didn't get a return.
I looked with
Sam's here.